Hello, and welcome to episode 1 of Ironcast.
I'm
your host, Steven, and I play Scorn.
This is Rick. I play Scorn, and I play with my cock.
Ooh.
Nice.
This is Tanner, and I play Mercenaries and Scorn.
This is Tony. I play Crix.
This is Jesse. I play Crix. And Circle.
Ironcast. I'm on this podcast.
Okay. Yep.
That's Trent. He plays everything.
All right.
All right. So, spoiler week, guys.
Oh, yes.
It was fun reading all these spoilers. I guess we could just hop in and go into troll order.
Get a general feel of all the spoilers before we just delve into some random faction.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Start it. Go ahead then, buddy.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
I started unexcited and I ended unexcited because I didn't care.
Okay.
I guess I wasn't disappointed.
I was not disappointed. Well, I kind of am disappointed. I am. I wasn't expecting very much, and I am glad I didn't.
I also wasn't expecting much, and I don't think they really delivered in this book all
right.
In all. Especially because the last War Machine book, what was it? Reckoning?
It was
such a fucking good book.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great
Kador would like to disagree with you.
Okay. They were the Scorn of this book.
It's true. So,
Scorn might have made out better. But
when Zal 2 was spoiled, I set the bar pretty low, and they managed to duck under that one too.
I think I'm right there with you, Steve.
All right.
I agree with you guys. He's not that great. Probably really bad. But I think he could be okay, you know.
I actually think he's okay, personally.
Yeah.
He's nothing special. He's nothing ass.
He's not terrible. That's what it is.
No. He's not what people wanted.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly the problem. So.
Yep. And he's dull as shit. He is not.
When you look at his card and when you look at Doomshaper 3, you're like, what the fuck, PP?
How many cards do you have left to, or how many games do you have left in to play him with there, Rick?
Let's see, 20 game challenge, so we're at 13. It's
oh, nice.
It's not going to happen before the end of October.
How do you like him though?
Personally, he's just kind of boring. His play style is I was talking to Tan about this earlier. A binary question. It's question number one. Can you deal with 30 to 40 plus dudes? And if the answer is yes, no, or iron cast. So after that, you move on to, okay, are you vulnerable to boosted Pal 12 assassination run? Because if you can kill that many dudes, odds are you're going to open yourself up for an assassination run. And sure. Keeping yourself at a safe distance is fairly difficult because he threatens 22 inches. At the end of the day, so at maximum threat range. So if you can survive, if you can kill a bunch of dudes and boosted Pal 12s don't bother you, you've got the game in hand, more or less, with what he's got right now. If any one of those poses a problem to you, you will lose. So, I mean, really, he just has that sort of two-step win or lose situation. He can also, with that feat, can be as hard as fuck to make people not do anything, just, spend a turn
sure.
positioning.
Yeah.
What you're saying is, if you can answer to Crix, but with shittier infantry, you're good to go. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah. Shut up.
We're in the same boat, right?
Well, like,
yeah.
Steve, your complaint was that why would you make an Ancestral Guardian caster that is shittier Ancestral Guardian stats?
Yeah, that's what really upsets me a little bit, because, like, they kept the same Ancestor Guardian stats, which is fine, except they dumbed his mat down by 2 and his command down by 2, and I don't really understand why he couldn't just be mat 8. So his melee, it's not really an assassination, so his melee threat is a little more relevant. I mean, one turn of boosted attack rolls does not break mat 8, I don't think, but whatever.
Yeah, because when he has like 15 or 20 attacks, mat 8's at that point. increasing the amount of attacks. That's why he doesn't have mad 8.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, but why is his defense 10? That's like...
Well, he's an Ancestor Guardian. Yeah. That's what my point is.
For assassination, he's actually a really... I haven't lost him to assassination, I think, but once, and that was when I went in for the kill and had to go all in on it. Because he's usually so far back, and most turns, if you're actually worried about assassination, you have no problem keeping 5 or 6 Fury on him. And the one turn you might have 3 Fury or 4 Fury on him is the turn that you feed, and just get him up there and say, I'm armor 23 and I can't be knocked down. Have fun.
Right.
All right. So, I mean, usually he actually is really tough to assassinate, so that defense 10 is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think he plays into really well?
Next question.
Okay. I'm having a tough time figuring it out, too. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a question asker than answerer, maybe. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
So shall we talk about the people who weren't disappointed?
Sure.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Troll Christmas started.
It did.
Trollbook Kwanzaa.
Troll Christmas has never
has been going. Yeah, that's true.
It's been going for a while.
When did the Creel Stone come out?
All right. So Horlick 3, he is speed 5, mat 5, rat 4, defense 13, armor 15, so not really changed very much. He's got a Creel Staff that's power and strength 13, reach, crit, smite, plus 3 points. He has Field Marshal, Hyper Regen, and he retained Goad. His feat is, while in his control area, model is in his battle group, gain an additional die on melee attack rolls, and when a model in his battle group in his control area is hit by a melee attack, the attacker rolls one less damage die, and after the attack is resolved, if the model in the battle group was damaged, it heals D3. That's the whole feat. That's pretty fucking good. His spell list is Admonition, Implacability, which is a self-control area spell. It's a cost of 2 while in his area. While in the control area, models in the battle group gain Tiberian. He has Stranglehold. He has Unminding, which is cost 3, range 10. It's an upkeep spell. Target enemy warbeast suffers minus 2 fury and threshold, loses its animus, and he can cast the animus as a spell. And that's all of his spell lists. The Scrollbearer.
He's got one more spell.
Oh, does he? Oh, it doesn't.
He's got Repudiate, which is gets rid of an upkeep and does D3 damage.
Yeah, no, it's super.
Yeah.
Ezerkova's spell.
It's Haley 3.
Haley 3's.
The Scrollbearer's speed 5, 13, 13, HP 5. It has to be base with him to use one of the 3 mini feats. It is Call of the Troqual. I don't know how to say these things, but while in this controller, each warbeast in his battle group can gain 0 fury when casting an animus instead of gaining the cost of the animus.
Pretty good.
So you pretty much cast the animus for free. Some other freaking ability called that's name, and its enemy models pay double focus or fury to cast or upkeep spells. And Time of Mulgar, while in its control area, friendly faction warrior models gain additional die on attack. Oh, so they gain signs of importance on their
attack rolls. Yeah.
Which is pretty good. So that's him. He seems super good.
So he does.
I like him.
Tony, you can freak out now.
Yeah.
I'm getting there.
I think one of the biggest bonuses that I see out of those little, like the mini feats, I guess you could call them. It'll be interesting if you can get that. What's this called? The Runebreaker.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting that you can send him in, use all of his fury, and still get Runebreaker off.
That's true.
You know, if he's deep in lines, that sounds okay.
Oh yeah, that sounds really good actually. I don't know. I figured. He would have, like, maybe 4 spells, but I figured he would have, like Gristle. You know, she's got the fell calls, and she has 3 spells, you know? But, I mean, like, the three mini-feat things are pretty cool, and his spell list is just super good. So
the stat line still sucks.
Yeah. He pretty much, like, negates Kruger.
Yeah, Field Marshal?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody field marshal, it seems like, except for Crix.
Yeah, I don't know.
They hate Crix.
Oh my god. Ugh.
It begins.
I knew this was going to happen.
What really struck me most about his feat is how similar to Zaltu's it is. they're pretty similar. Boosted melee attack rolls, they get an effective armor buff with the one less damage die, and then they get the regen ability. So they're actually pretty similar, but it's curious to see which one's better. I think Doomshapers might be better because it affects more than four different models.
A counterpoint. Did you know that Haley 2 and Lilith 3 basically have the same feet?
Yep, that's true.
Which one is better? Which one's better?
Because she's not Haley 3.
Haley 2. So is it the one with the 18-inch control area that doesn't require you to hit models, or is it the one that requires you to hit models and not kill them to get anything out of it? Doomy has the better feat.
I think it is too.
It benefits more model selection and more points. Because he's going to, everything he says is take a fuck ton of war beasts. And unlike Zalt, who he doesn't suffer any consequences from, he hasn't built with sort of mix and match. His only thing that was sort of mix is signs importance on attack rolls for warrior models, which isn't that big of a deal once again.
So once the Creel Stone goes in there, they'll hit.
And it heals after you take damage, not before. So, I mean, for some reason, Privateer Press is thinking that a lot of Ancestral Guardians or Scorn models take a lot of damage on the approach. And that's just not always just the case. I usually find
doesn't happen.
Yeah, they usually die, and if they're gonna sink in, no one blinks them away. He's just a really, on paper, he smacks of being good.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
I can't think of him not being an amazing high grade caster in the immediate future. Yep.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
What do you guys think about the unminding spell? Because that's
I don't like it.
It's new and unique.
It pisses me off.
It does mean
if he hits, which is I'm assuming his fury stat is still 7.
Still 7. Say.
Okay. Well, it just means he can take off my he can make it so my stalker has no more sprint, and then Mold's gonna get sprint, which is not fun. But it also does not specify character, so if it hits Karn.
I don't think Karn's going to be within 10 without killing your caster.
Yeah, even with 2 to 3 fury, Karn will kill.
Just saying.
Think about this. To get that sprint, he has to go and hit the stalker. So that means he's got to be within 10 to 12 of the stalker, which is within. And at that point, the stalker can still charge. If he's with certain casters, he can charge for free. And if Doomy wants sprint, that's going to be additional 2 fury. So he's paying 5 fury a turn to cast 1 Animus. So
I didn't think of that.
I'm not sure how good it's going to be because he still has to pay the cost for Animus. Unless his ability
5 fury.
Because the spell is 3 and then any most Animi are 2.
Well, he probably has to boost a hit 2. And the Stalker's prowling, he has to be within 5 to get it, so then he probably is dead.
Yeah, that's true too.
I was going to say, I think it's better for taking away key Animi than copying them. Taking away sprint or taking away rush.
Yeah, rush is a big deal.
Tenacity could be good, potentially.
Oh god, that's actually
you also
terrible.
Have to
block,
I guess. So
tenacity and troll blood, that'd be a terribly good animus.
Spiny growth, bro. Mm-hmm. You take spiny, the Carnivians are defense 10 or 11, so it's not hard to hit.
Well, I'm just curious how many times you're gonna be stealing these animuses and not just getting your ass killed, right immediately.
That's true, because I don't know.
Even with bone grinders, you're only range 12 on that spell.
That's true. What's the range of Repudiate? Sorry.
10, I think.
I think it is 10.
It's 10, yeah.
It's kind of like a Hex Blast, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He seems to follow the whole troll motif, which is we take the hit, we get hit in the face, and then we retaliate. So he makes all the beasts really super durable to where you can line them up in a, and make a wall out of them. Take the hit from somebody, survive it, then regen from the hit, then regen with hyper regen, then munch something with, what do they call them? A whelp or something to heal the beast all the way back up, and then turn around and retaliate. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need the whelps anymore, though. You have the new unit. So.
Oh, yeah. Plus, they could regen themselves, too, can't they?
Yeah, most of them do.
Yeah. You don't even need the whelps. Or even need to worry about snacking. It's just going to make the beast really, really hard to take down. Is kind of a given.
Think about it this way, because if the heal is a D3 after they hit your troll, It's effectively a plus D3 armor every attack.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
With minus one die, it's crazy how much effective armor you get stacked on there. I don't know. It's going to be nuts. But...
I was thinking it's just, if they feed, it's probably just better to hit something else other than their beast and just avoid their beast. Because your minus one dice, unless you're charging in or you're hitting them with weapon masters, if you're only hitting them with one dice and they're healing a D3, it's probably not even worth it to try.
There is no... Yeah, exactly. So, you were saying heal with the... so I'll just go over the Dunia Knot, which is their new unit. They're speed 6, mat 5, rat 4, def 13, armor 13. They are 3 points for 3 models. They have a power strength 8 magical dagger. They have 5 or 2 magic abilities, and their magic ability 5. They have a heal. They heal friendly living models base to base with them, D3, and they have Puppet Master and Wild Communion. When a war beast within 3 inches of the model makes a threshold check, you can reroll one of the dice. So they have 3 Puppet Masters on a stick, and potentially, I guess you could heal a beast or you can heal whatever the hell you want, really. So, but I mean, Puppet Master seems freaking really good, you know, especially 3 of them for 3 points. I mean, what do you guys think?
I'm going to beat the shit out of the next troll player that complains about a low mat or rat.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. That's pretty
funny. It really helps the Colossal, too, because now that...
It does.
First, like, oh, okay, well, I need to hit you to make sure you're stationary. Well, I guess I can guarantee that I'm going to hit you now. Oh, the Burden of Pain won 3 points for 3 Puppet Masters.
Put it up the cost of their Colossals by 3 points.
Yeah, but, like, if you were thinking about taking whelps, I would rather pay the 3rd point to get the potential Puppet Master too. You know what I mean? Like you can also heal it, but you can, like, you have 3 Puppet Masters on a stick, and that's a range 10. They can kind of hang back and do whatever they want, you know. So
kind of invalidates whelps, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of. No, you don't think so?
Whelps are also used for fury management.
Yeah, for sure. They seem pretty good though.
Yay for trolls!
I'm glad they didn't have any like whelp-y like thing where they take off fury, because they would have just, well, it would have completely invalidated the whelp and then also been broken balls probably. So, but should we move on to the bushwhacker UA?
Well,
he seems pretty cool.
Before then, is this what it feels like to be the 1%?
What?
Now we can go on to the one. Now we can go on to the bushwhackers. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's a unit attachment, speed 6, mat 5, 4, rat 5, 4, def 13, and 12, points cost 2. They give them AD, or the officers AD, combined range attack. Pathfinder, they granted combined arms, slip away, which is affected models that advance, can move through other models, and can't be fired with free strikes. Tactics, camouflage, which is okay. The old mortar has AD, Pathfinder, arcing fire, range finder, which is pretty good, and the gun has a range 14, AOE 4, power 12.
So with the rangefinder on that, can you take anybody else in the unit, or is it specifically like another model? Could you stack like 5 guys on them and get a crazy good rat?
That would be
crazy. I think you can only go up 2.
Okay.
So, yeah, named abilities don't stack, so rangefinder would just be on its own.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It just seems like it might be okay. There's only 2 points, so if you're going to take them, you might as well take this thing. I don't know. They're a pretty high-cost unit, though.
Holy crap. I was going to say, aren't they 8 points base or something like that?
Yeah, they're 5-8. With this guy, they'd make them 10 points. I mean, they're range 14 POW 10s with CRA. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could plink off some stuff. I mean, if you're playing with Gunborn, you can snipe them, which is pretty cool. Range 18 guns, pretty good. But
yeah, no one takes long gunners, and this, at all.
That's exactly what... Yeah. Yep. So... All right, Rick, Steve, or Tanner, who's going to take on the Scorn?
Oh, boy.
Hang on, I'll do it. I'll take enthusiasm, too.
All right, thank you. Yay, Scorn.
Get excited!
Yeah, let's hear it. Ooh. All right, so we already know Zal, too. You should know Zal, too. He's on War Room at this point in time. So I'll
be well for a while, yeah.
So let's start with the Legends of Halak. And these guys, so the running theme is going to be like, that sounds cool, but I'll go in a longer rant about this later for people who think I'm painting too much on my...
You mean the Scorn Great Bears?
Yes, the Legends of Halak. Yeah. So it's 3 models, they're a character unit. They don't have any model type, which is sort of important for any theme list. They don't fit in. So they're universally speed 6, mat 7, rat, who gives a shit, defense 13, armor 15, 5 hit points each, and their points cost of 4. They all together have flank. Every single one of them is flank another model in this unit. The leader, Bagesh, has 2 swords at pound 10 and can do a combo strike at pound 13, and he gives the unit sidestep. They have another character, Jadeth. He has 2 POW 11 weapons and a combo smite of 15. And he gives them relentless charge. And then their final character is Sidar, who has a single POW 12 weapon, but she has a reach. She has defensive strike. And she grants them Synocracy. When base to base with one or more models in this unit, a unit with Synocracy gets a plus 2 defense. So effectively, most of the time, this should be defense 15, armor 15. And at 4 points, they're not terrible for 4 points, and they're a cheap weapon master unit, basically, which is something as a Scorn player I've wanted a long time, and for certain character lists where it just doesn't fit. So they're good.
I like them.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty good. Defenders ward them, they're 17-17. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. They're comparable, I think, to a minimum unit of our Kurai.
Sure.
Their Kurai have a little more wounds, but are a little easier to kill. All in all, they do a little more damage. So I think, you know, it's if you're not willing to pay 6 points or 5 points, they're a good 4 point option.
I think one of the main things on them is I don't really think you have to use Defender's Ward on them. I mean, just sit them next.
No, you don't.
Just put them next to your Kurai. I mean, it does the same thing. And you know, once they go in, they're hoping to trade up anyways. They're not going to be around forever.
Right.
So, but with Prime Makita, they're pretty good because you can launch them in, and as long as one of them lives, then you get the rest of the other two back, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So
they're also good with Zal too because he can make transference boosts on all those attack and damage.
Yeah, that's pretty good too.
If I could,
they've been compared to the Graveyards a lot.
If I could be the traditional Scorn player and whine about them, they were not what I was hoping for, but they are good. I was hoping for
weren't Ancestral Guardians.
No. That's not what I was hoping for, like a Wither Shadow Combine where they had utility, not just more punch you in the face stuff. But they'll do.
Have that on a stick already in a single solo.
Yeah, we don't have a Wither Shadow Combine, buddy. That's what
you have the almost the same abilities on a solo. The one little guy that gives eyeless sight, and he gives out puppet strings too, doesn't he?
No, that's the Willbreaker.
And he makes two magical
solos. That's two solos.
Yeah,
two solos. There you go.
But still, I mean, they're good.
Which is 4 points, is still less than the Wither Shadow Combine for those two solos.
That's true, yep. I guess, yeah. But yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think, are they the cheapest character unit? I think all the rest of them are.
Hearn and John is 3 points.
I'm talking about, I'm not talking about Mercs, I'm talking about, like, the one for each, the three man, sorry.
We're talking about actual character units. Fake-ass bullshit.
Not Ion and whole crazy level stuff here. Yeah.
I think the new minion, Pendrake's Assistance, is 3 points. They're 2 units, or unit of characters.
That's true.
I said 3 man.
Oh, well, then yes, you're right.
Yes, I am correct, I think. Because the Wither Shadow's 5, I know the Death Wolves are 5, the Great Bears are 5, the Legion one's 5. I don't know about anything else. So
there's a 4-point win out.
Think Roven is 4.
The Black 13th might be 4 as well.
They're 4.
Are they 4? I thought they were 5.
No, they're 4.
No, they're great.
Who cares? Anyway, it's irrelevant.
They'll make their way into lists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, with that point cost, 3 weapon masters, I don't know. It could be good.
It's 5 weapon master attacks for 4 points. You can't be mad about that.
Yeah. Like Rick said, with Zal too, I mean, that could go a long way. I mean, but like Tanner said also, I mean, you pretty much, like, you're going to have them go in there and then, trade up, and then they're probably all going to die. So.
My ideal is actually run them with Xerxes 1 out of tier. So Xerxes feeds, puts Fury on them, they charge up, can take out also at that point. Then Markath comes up and puts Defender's Ward on them when they're all in base to base, so they're 17-19 that turn, and just sort of
they could definitely take out the Storm Raptor.
Yeah. I think they could even out the Desert Hydra, which is the next model we're talking about.
Great segue. Damn.
Yeah. On fire.
It's speed 5, mat 6, rat 5, defense 9, armor 19, which is also its point cost. That is 48 wounds, Threshold, nah, who cares, Fury 4, and Command 7. Command's sort of important for its Animus.
Yep.
Oh, so good, actually.
It has its Gunfighter, Circular Vision, multiple hits times 5, means it gets 5 initial attacks, and they could be those sprays, or they can be melee. It has Regen of a D3 plus 3, and Snacking. And as far as its attacks, its bite is power and strength 18 and critical grievous wounds. And then it has the ranged attacks are spray 6, pow 12, continual corrosion. And it can make a star attack of a concentrated blast, which uses all the sprays. And it's spray 10, pow 16. And the Animus Sandstorm is, while on this model's command, you can't make ranged attacks. Once again, it's something in Scorn that just beats face and... Yay.
Yep. Yay. Yep. But good. It's immune to Gorman.
Yeah, okay.
So good.
How is it immune to Gorman?
It's his command is 7, so Gorman cannot throw.
Oh, yeah, at
him.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, he is immune to it. So, I mean.
You play it with Kane and snipe him.
And this will be sort of my bitch about Scorn. Don't get me wrong. He's a B+. I think he might be the best gargantuan in the book.
You think so?
Really?
With the, yeah, I think he competes with a. Mammoth for best gargantuan all in all.
All are you serious?
Yes.
I think the troll one and the legion one are better than this.
I disagree with you.
Really?
Well, Matt 6 is big, frankly, as much as we joke about
no,
it.
No, I know. Yeah, no, that yeah. It is.
And we're just going to consider the model as well in a vacuum. The legion one, down the road, I'd be wrong. The legion one might be better. I'll concede that point. But I think what the Hydra has going for it is the abilities to just absolutely kill anything in its way and to create a huge zone of denial for armies that have ranged support. It can really stack that denial up there. The Hydra's problem, ultimately, is what it's competing against. I think he's a B-plus model competing with A players. There are certain combinations where you will take him. I like him with Naresh. I like him with Xerxes 2. Mm-hmm. I like him, obviously, with Hexy 2. But there are other certain combinations where I don't necessarily like him that much compared to other option choices. And I think that's where this is what it's like to have a Krix caster. It'd be Krix and choosing war casters when you choose Scorn War Beast. It's the same dilemma. It's like, I have so much awesome. Something like the Cyclops Savage is just, kind of crap in our faction. But in other factions, they're like, how about a PAL 13 model with reach for 5 points that can boost after the fact? And hand out the ability to boost after the fact for one Fury. Everyone else would be, I'm sold for us. Yeah, whatever. It's not our best 5-point choice. Which is an amazing fact of playing in Scorn. But I think that's the problem he runs into, is that the people he's competing against might make it more difficult.
Well, like, its Animus is super good. You pretty much have to cast it with your Warlock to get any use out of it, in my opinion, because like range 7, the only thing you're stopping is fucking blood weaver or blood trackers. Everything else is pretty much higher range than 7.
You're not casting it to stop those attacks on the Hydra.
No,
you're casting it to stop attacks on everything behind.
I get that.
So like the Kree is supporting the Hydra, so now the Hydra is defense 11, so you might miss it. It's armor 21, so you're not really going to hurt the Hydra whatsoever. And then you can keep your pain givers at a safe distance, so they can't really. So there's going to be 14 or so inches between, or more, because the model's a 5-inch base. So you essentially can create a 19-inch window where they can't really target your stuff if they could see it, or a minimum of like a foot long area where they can't get to you. And most range attacks that are any good in this game have a foot range or less. Some of them have more, obviously, as the rare exceptions. But the Hydra sort of sits in the middle of the table and says, you're not attacking anything in my army behind me with ranged attacks. We're pretty comfortably safe.
Thank you. Steve?
I agree. I think the Crit Grievous Wounds is pretty handy-dandy and stuff. Snacking's really cool. I can't ever complain about some RFP and stuff like that. It does just beat face again. And it is the same point cost as the Mammoth, which is fine. I think they do... I mean, they do sort of similar things, but I think the Mammoth is... I don't know. The Mammoth's Animus is less useful, for sure, than the Hydra. So I think the Hydra might be bumped up, but the Mammoth gets the range bonus. So, I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up. Depends on what role you want to do, I guess.
I think that this thing, like, potentially can mow down single-wound infantry, though. I mean,
yeah,
you hit attacks, I don't know. Yeah, does Black Spot work on every initial?
Yes.
It works on every attack, not just initials.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's really good.
So you get 5 free attacks. 5 free space, essentially, if you hit all.
You get up to 9 free attacks if you can. And you can combine them too, right? So for Black Spot, you can hit someone with your melee, then spray.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Attack.
Yeah, hit someone with your melee that's and spray awesome. With your attack. Right? And so,
yeah, that's sick. Hell yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That potentially makes him a Mat 8 too, and a Rat 7.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's targets.
Yeah, that's really good. So, I like that. Cool. Yeah, I dig him. I think his model's gorgeous. So,
oh, yeah. It's a sex-worthy model.
I don't know.
There's maybe some physical difficulties in that. But
considering the Glacier King's already out, we didn't talk about the Glacier King. You think this thing's better than that?
Arguably, yeah. I think so.
Mm. Why?
Well,
Glacier King has three shots, which are pretty solid. Its support abilities are good. Its animus is super good. It's got freeze on its fists. It gives concealment within 3, I think, or 2. I don't remember what it was, but
because as I said, I'm looking at them.
Gets puppet strings.
Yeah, I'm looking at them in a vacuum.
Okay, sure.
Just relatively speaking, because if you talk about support, then we can get in the dick measuring contest. And
I hear you.
Because you can be like, it's got puppet strings, so it can boost those initial hit. Like, well, okay, well, I have access to Fury and Xerxes' Feet and Defender's Ward or Rush and like, Road to War, blah, blah, and puppet strings.
I'm not saying that, though. Yeah. Like, the Gargantuan itself, like, does its own support abilities for its army.
Yeah, but as far as the Hydra goes, it doesn't need any support. It can function almost entirely by itself and still be successful.
I think
as opposed to the Glacier King, which is going to need some sort of external support to reach its maximum potential. And the Glacier King does provide more support and concealment.
That's what I'm saying. It helps its army more.
Yeah, it bumps defense 12s up to 14s. That's not world-shattering.
No, but it's okay.
It's really good still. I think all of these gargantuans are much better than the previous incarnations.
Oh, yes.
Get
out of here.
I'm kidding.
I think one of the biggest things that we haven't really touched on with the Hydra is, because I really like it. Like, it's solid B+. It's never going to be, you know, an auto-include by any means, but it can effectively easy trade with another gargantuan.
Oh yeah,
without really any issue. And one of the big things on it, because it's just really self-sufficient. It can trade on another colossal without any issue. Like the Glacier King, he can't hit it back. He can't stationary it. You know, right. That's kind of one of the issues that the Glacier King has, because even if you're fighting in its defense 9, you know, if it has any kind of buff on it, you know, suddenly you need 6s. It's just
yeah.
Happen. And Trent can jump in here if he wants, but, you know, me and him were talking about it, and he pointed out that because it has 5 initials, I mean, you can really go out of your way to willy-nilly boost attack and damage, because you have so many initials anyways. Not really going to buy extra attacks, where most other war beasts and projects, they're using that focus on Fury to buy more attacks to get more output.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's why I think it is, like, I agree, it is one of the better ones, for sure. But, like, that's what, like, I was an idiot, and I decided to go on some of the forums today, and all these fucking Scorn players are like, it's only Fury 4!
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
You don't need more than that, you know? Anyway, we'll wrap that up. Trent, you got anything on that, buddy?
No, I'm pretty happy with what you guys said.
I was thinking you were going to say Ironcast.
I was hoping for it.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's fucking fine. Failed, it. Trent. Jesus Christ.
Come God, on, man.
Damn it.
Don't do it when people expect it.
That's how you get them. Trent's just biding his time for the circle, section.
Oh, fuck me. I'm not. I'm going to leave with right now.
Hey, Trent, why don't you go then do the circle section?
Ooh.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Segue.
Two nice. In one podcast?
Okay. That's pretty amazing. I don't really need to go over Chromac, do I?
No.
No.
So you got the black clad cav unit then?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. So let's run through them.
I think they're cool. I think they have some interesting synergies with the Wold Wrath too. And I think that they kind of validate its animus a little, because not only can it buff the druids, but it'll buff them. And getting that additional die to hit increases their chance to actually smite with their slam magic spell.
Oh wow, I never thought about that.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And what else did I like about them? Light Cav is pretty cool. If they're black clads, I'm gonna make an assumption that they probably have some immunities built in, like the Wayfarer does.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I don't know. I looked at their thing, and I don't believe everything about some of these models was actually like put out.
Do you think, Trent, because they have Battle Wizard, you'll be able to effectively charge in, try and hit a model and back away, or do you think Mat 5 is just not even worth it?
Well, actually, if you take Cro-Mag 2 and you auto-hit on the charge,
it solves that
problem pretty well for you.
Fair enough.
Don't they have Mat 7 on the charge, too? Or is that only Heavy Cav?
No. Cav always gets plus 2.
Yeah, Cav always gets plus 2. Yeah, so... Mat 7's okay, but... Yeah, no, the Cro-Mag 2 thing, I was kind of in the tank today with that, too. Is Blizzard... What ability? I've never looked into that ability. It's a cloud, right?
It is a cloud.
Yeah.
Do they have Blizzard?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so how Blizzard works is it's you can target a friendly faction model, you put a 3-inch AoE on it that moves with it, and if that model dies, the 3-inch AoE goes away.
The cool thing is it's a 5-man unit that can cast Blizzard and make a huge mobile wall.
That's true. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And they have camouflage, so they get plus 2 defense in it, so they're, what, defense 16?
I imagine they're 17s. Mm-hmm. I bet you they're 13s base.
They're 14s base, so they're 18s within the cloud.
Yep.
So they're druids, basically.
They're speed 8, mat 5, rat 4, 14, 15.
Speed 8, huh?
So that's pretty good. Yeah. They're a POW 10 magical weapon with reach and brutal charge, and their mount is a POW 12. They're pretty solid. I like them a lot. Yeah, the shock bolt. That's what I was thinking too. Like, oh, Cro-Mag, you auto hit, potentially kill something, and then Battle Wizard that bad Larry across the board. So, but yeah, I like them.
Yeah, I think they're okay. I think they have potential. The Blood Weaver solo, I think she does something really neat for the unit. I think the issue that unit still has is without like Prime Kruger, it has no access to reach, and without reach, I think
the unit
suffers. It really, really relies on Gang.
Yeah.
And without Gang, I think, they're just, I'm at 6, pow 9. And
yeah, killing's free without reach is just, and Gang is just, okay. So you stepped away and now you're terrible. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, like, the Blight Wasps, the only thing they get played in is Abbey 2, because the feat turn gives them reach, and then the killing spree is relevant for them,
Well, that's why we talked about putting lightning tendrils on them from Kruger 1.
Yeah.
Because it instantly makes that pretty brutal against a little tiny unit. Yeah, but
she's not a part of the unit, though.
I know, you put it on the actual unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more. Things out in back. Yeah. Gives some killing spree.
Yeah. I don't know, like, she could be pretty cool by herself, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm going to wait for someone to take the D3 damage and kill themselves. It's going to be great.
That's probably going to be me. I'm going to go all in.
That's pretty amazing. But,
yeah, no, she's cool. That blood ritual ability is pretty cool. So
auto grievous wounds on 2 attacks is pretty great.
Super solid.
That is good.
Yeah. She's super good. So I like her a lot.
That you can boost as well. It's pretty
solid for 2 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the life drinker too, if you kill something, then you're okay because you potentially can heal that damage back unless you like roll 3 for damage and 1 to heal. And then you're like, oh. So, but
effectively, she can boost 2 attacks, before she takes any damage, and then, she can't die unless you start boosting beyond that.
Right. No, she's cool. Right. I like her a lot.
And the Raptor, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's, like, great. It doesn't pop out at me, but I think it's one of those beasts that has a shit ton of special rules. And I'm not really sure that the special rules amount to anything spectacular. It's got it's a total glass cannon, and it's got the rules so you can't yo-yo it. Yeah. It has a single shotgun, which admittedly isn't that great because it has to go to the closest model with the leap. I think if Storm generated red, that you could shoot the model and then choose a model within 4 to then leap to, so you could actually space the templates it places down effectively.
Right.
Like, I feel like that gun might be worth it. Because I've made a P. Kruger list where I've been thinking the Woldwrath and the Bird in the same list because they have the same gun, mm-hmm. and then P. Kruger with them, with his feet. So you could literally just have a turn where you just put up a wall of POW 10 AoEs, and with chain lightnings and everything, you just hose their infantry, basically. Mm-hmm. And then it gets a little bit more interesting in that list because with the Bird's auto-disruption on its claws, if you play against War Machine and you hose all their infantry, you can just go straight into their jacks if they're not running a Colossal. And, I mean, you won't die. You'll just disrupt everything within reach, and then you can move up your super rock until, you know, they have nothing to kill the thing.
Do we know if does Plasma Nimbus? I know it does the POW 10, but does it also disrupt?
No,
I don't believe it does. It's just POW 10.
Okay, I was just curious because. Okay, because I was gonna say if it did, then it could actually be.
I was actually hoping Storm Generator on the gun would disrupt as well. It was one of those things I had to go back and read because I was like, oh man, that'd actually be pretty effective.
Does the Skyfire Animus, does that boost?
It gives plus two to your damage roll.
So it does boost all those little lightning templates that are placed around it.
Yeah, it's all electrical damage.
It gives plus two to your damage roll, or plus two.
Yeah, it actually will boost Plasma Nimbus, so Plasma Nimbus will be a power roll.
That's pretty good.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's good with Chromac too because you put Chromac two on it with the Waking Spirit on it, so that way you can cast his Animus every round. And Primal Shock with it's actually going to be pretty impressive. As far as a damage nuke spell at that point.
He's 7 Fury. He isn't going to kill too many people with Primal Shock.
Well, he's not going to kill too many people with Primal Shock, but he can get rid of a pesky solo with Primal Shock on that guy pretty easily.
That thing's range 8. So think of this, Rick. You spend 18 points on a War Beast that you moved up, you Primal Shocked 8 inches away, and then it died.
You and your facts.
So I think it's that typical like gargantuan that like this thing... If it charged another gargantuan, like, I put money on it with all circles buffs that it would totally scrap whatever it went after. But I think it's really flawed in that they wanted a that, you know, did a lot of damage. And, I mean, it has Virtuoso and Gunfighter and all these neat abilities. But it'll only ever do it once. Because a 12-18 with 46 boxes, yep. I mean, heavy warjacks can kill that with refocus almost.
Yep.
I think it's the same issue that I see in the Hydra. And I mean, you could disagree with me, Rick, but I feel like the Hydra is literally just a giant Alpha Strike missile that dies the next turn. The second it exposes itself and does a bunch of damage, it's just going to die in return. And I don't like that about those two particular gargantuans. It's like, I really feel like in order to get mileage out of these beasts, especially with how limited the Hydra's range attacks are to it, and how like limiting the single shot Storm Generator gun on the Bird is, like you're just not getting a galleon. You're not shooting, you know, 2d3 shots plus your harpoon every turn with all sorts of buffs on that. You're literally relying on a gun to accomplish what you need. And you know, that I think that's what marks the difference between colossal bases in terms of like how effective they are, is how good is this thing in the range game.
Yep.
If it's great at the range game, then it's a great it's great. If it's not great at the range game, then it's not worth the points and you don't get the value out of what you put into it, most likely.
No, I'm completely with you. Yeah, for the Hydra you could remove another Colossal or Gargantuan, but afterwards something else is just gonna come up and kill him kind of offhand, almost. It might take two heavies to kill him, but it's not hard to kill the Hydra. Unless you're facing
the thing is,
I have one Colossal. Mm-hmm.
You hope they give you that beautiful charge.
I can make it happen.
If you're gonna make a model map 5 and cost fucking 19 points, I think it should have a rate of fire 2 gun at least, for Christ's sake. You know,
I've said that about the Circle 1 forever. I'm just like, you know, if I could shoot this damn gun 2 times with the Storm Generator.
Because if like the thing is with this thing, like it's Virtuoso, so you can do melee and range, which is nice. Like the Woldwrath isn't. But with the Woldwrath, at least, like when I played it a couple of times, you miss with that fucking gun and it's done. You know? And then
that's its turn.
Sitting there. Yep. And it's gonna happen with this thing too, I think. You know. Granted it can hit and punch at the same time, but its defensive stat is so shitty and it has so little boxes, it's just gonna die. Like You know, fucking five charging war spheres from Legion will kill this piece of shit. So, but yeah, I don't know. I agree. I completely agree with the if a colossal or the mark of a good colossal in Gargantuan is how good its gun is, in my opinion. And like I agree with you that because like obviously like most of the War Machine ones have pretty solid guns. Probably like 90%, I think.
I'd say the ones that really lack in guns, I'd say Kador has some random. I would say the Kador 1 guns are either really great or really bad in the game.
Sure.
Like, you either get, you know, way more points out of it than it should ever give, or you really dig all from it. And right. I'd say Krix, with its new one, finally got guns that
are pretty good. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. So, all the other, like, the Galleon, the Stormwall and the Hurricane, I mean, all those are super good.
Earthbreaker.
Have a lot of guns. The Earthbreaker, yeah. And, like...
The Prime Axiom. Just,
like, yeah. Why is this... Like, if this thing was 17 points, I would consider it. Because at 19 points, in my opinion, right now, I've said this before Rick got on here, 19 points is a fucking Pureblood and a Stalker, which clear as much infantry as this thing will, in my opinion.
And be as more of a threat to heavies.
And have more hit points.
Yeah.
And be harder to hit.
Well, what I think the most important part of the, and forgive me for using the forum nickname of Zapdos, but I think it's important, that's all I'll ever call this thing, is
sure, I agree.
Is that the new Convergence Colossal is going to have a lot of the same rules and going to be so much better, and it's going to be so sweet to have that. Its little servitors are going to have the Animus that Zapdos has to put out, and it's going to have Plasma Nimbus. It's probably going to have the exact same gun on the main gun, probably with a better range of 13, maybe 17, but probably a 13-inch range gun. That
sure, also it's going to have more rate of fire.
Well, no, it's going to have one rate of fire on the big gun, but it's going to have two little guns that are going to also have more rate of fire, and it's just going to be, yeah. Oh, poor Zapdos, you're outclassed.
It's going to cost 18 points.
Mm-hmm. But the other part is it'll be out in about 5 years, so there's trade-off.
It doesn't matter, this thing probably will too, so, you know, that's like, whatever, well, let's not go on that fucking topic, but anyway, so who's going to talk about Legion?
Well, hold on, I'll say one thing about these Colossals. So, the Troll and the Legion Colossals are the two best, or Gargantuans, are the two best Gargantuans in the book. I don't think anybody would disagree, and it is because of their extra abilities. That's what the problem, I think the problem with the Hydra and the Raptor are, is they're just do-work-yourself models, and I don't think that's good enough for a 20-point model, almost, so... That's the last thing.
Totally agree because, in my opinion, to get the Raptor to work, you have to invest a lot more points than 19 to get it to go do something.
But that's just me, though. I don't know. More is that the Raptor will do a lot of work, but its work will be casted in its Animus, while other things with electrical attacks make those attack rolls.
Yeah.
Like, so right. Those druids have to pow 14.
There's four things in the faction right now. Yeah. Like, the new druids, the new Cav, the Woldrath, both Krugers, I guess, and. The battle engine. The only things with electrical damage.
Hey, Jess, could be worse. Could be Zaltu's seat. So suck it.
The shaman from the Ravager unit. He has electrical
damage. Oh, yeah, let's get that on there.
Oosh. No, he is better than Electro Leap, I think. I think his is D3, isn't it?
It is D3.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Lawyered.
It's just not worth it. The Waldress Animus does more for those Mist Riders than this thing does.
Sure.
Why not both?
Anyway, let's just not get into it. I'm a salty bastard, I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Anyway. All right, so let's look at Legion. We don't need to go over the twins. I think it's pretty unanimously thought right now, anyways, that whatever PP wanted them to do, they don't accomplish it right now.
Yep.
That's for sure. Do you think that they, like, should have been essentially solos with a shared battle group, and that's how it should have been?
Oh, I was actually. So here's my opinion on it. Okay, I don't know, and I literally would like whoever designed them to explain to me how you give it's 12, right? 12 Fury Warlock, one Beast Point.
Yeah.
That's what I want explained. Is I'm like, you are forcing them to take more beasts than normal, almost. but you're giving them literally a 4-point disadvantage to, like, avail. And you expect me to play this?
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah, forget that shit. Or, oh, let's take their infantry abilities. Okay, so I'll play Infantry Legion. But now I have fury problems because I can't generate enough on my warlocks.
Right.
Because I spent all my points on infantry.
I agree.
They were a fun concept, but the execution was... I think they... they need to put them back in the shop for a little. Yeah. I think they're a fun concept.
I'm more positive about the Woldrath than I've ever been in years.
Well,
anyway, I guess I'll go for the Blightbringer spoiler.
If any one of us playing trolls, you would have been fucking like
ecstatic.
That is true.
I'll do the Legion stuff.
Okay.
Cool. They have a new solo called the Grotesque Assassin, which is pretty cool. Speed 7, Mat 7, Rat 5, Defense 14, Armor 13, cost 2 points. And it has two POW 11 Assassin Blades that combo strike to POW 15, and a third initial, it's a POW 10. So three initials right off the bat, it's pretty cool. It is fearless, has stealth, flight, and sprint, and it can desperate pace all grotesques. And while in a command, grotesques gain stealth too, so pretty neat for 2 points. Who cares about the, what are they called now? They errated the name of the old grotesques. What are those ones called? Nobody cares.
I actually think that validates that unit pretty well.
You think so?
I agree.
I mean, one solo fixes their speed problem.
That's true.
And it fixes their survivability issues. Mm-hmm.
That's true, they will get there.
And he's just a good solo by himself.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're literally paying very few points for something that not only makes your unit good, but also is good by itself.
Right.
And I mean, it's something like that for Manowars.
Quiet, you.
You want the stealth, right?
Yeah, I want the stealth.
But yeah, like three initials at Mat 7 by itself is good. But then all those extra abilities is pretty... I mean, I think it's a good solo. For 2 points, can't go wrong with that thing. And...
I agree. There's nothing wrong with it.
No,
it's I think good. You can go wrong with that for 2 points.
Okay.
Because there's a thing called Shredders, and they are 2 points. And
or Deathstalkers.
Who takes Deathstalkers? Who takes... like it's the Legion of Everblight. Like, they could have the best fucking unit in the game, hands down, and they'd still be like, I need to take more Ravagor. That's the real solution to my problem. Ravagor!
It's true. Like,
it is fucking wasted on them. It is, along with the other units he was going to get to in a minute, it's wasted on them.
Yeah.
Completely wasted.
Which is depressing, because that...
It makes me hurt. In my soul.
Anyway, the new unit, the Grotesque Banshees, are Speed 5, Mat 5, and Rat 5. They are 13-13s, and they're a 5-8 unit. They have a Spray 6 POW 12 with Silencer. They are Fearless, have Gunfighter, Flight, and Force Barrier, so they're 15-13s, don't suffer blast damage, and get stealth in the command range of that new Assassin. So I think it's a pretty good package for 10 points. I mean, like you said before, Rick, Legion players won't take it. But normal people would, and it'd be pretty good.
What was their rat?
Their rat 5.
It's 5.
So, yeah, they won't get played.
No.
You know who they're actually good with, though? The twins.
I was actually going to say they're actually pretty good with Veil 2. Because she can debuff the defense, and the solo can increase their speed. So they can get in range and spray.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's why they work with the twins, too, because they have the... So they have the same spell, Mark for Death.
Mark for Death, yeah.
So. Oh, okay.
Mark for Death is a little different from Breath Stealer, but it's still a -2 defense, and they lose incorporeal and stealth. The Liliths.
Yeah. They're
fine with the Liliths.
Yeah, Lilith 1 is like Lexum. Rat 5 is not bad with 3 dice.
Well, Lilith 2 can pincushion something, and then, do stuff.
You could make them work. They just have better options out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And why don't we tell about one of those better options, which is one of the coolest, interesting, colossal gargantuan things.
The Blightbringer, which might be the best gargantuan in the game now, which can be debated. It's a speed 4, which who cares, mat 5 and rat 5. It's defense 9, arm 19, and it costs 18 points, which is pretty sweet. It also has the most health of any of the new round. It has 54 boxes, fury 5, and it has a sweet range 14 AOE 5 POW 15 gun. With this game.
What the fuck?
Hi, Tony.
Tony, it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. Okay, so it has a scather, and it can choose between three different effects that also are an aura around it, but I'll get to that a little later. It has two POW 18 attacks, one of them that has a 360-degree line of sight. It, like all Legion things, is Isle of Sight, so that's, you know, because rules. So here's the three different abilities that it has. It's called Blighted Breath. At the beginning of this model's activation, you can pick one of the effects. Models within 5 inches of it gain that effect. So it has Dragon's Breath. Friendly faction warrior models gain +2 strength and armor, which is sweet for your caster and the infantry you're not taking. Spiritual Corruption. Enemy models can't cast spells, channel spells, or use animi, which is situationally meh. And Withering Ash, which all affected models gain concealment, and affected enemy models suffer -2 defense and lose tough, which is pretty handy. And the Scaler, you know, so if you shoot the Scaler, one of those, you choose one of those three effects. So you can buff your own stuff with your gun, which is kind of weird and pretty interesting and cool. Or you can debuff them, and, you know, they take the POW 15 in the face. So I think it's the best one in the book.
I think what's interesting about it is it can shoot something and declare the +2 strength, and then you can charge it with infantry. So you're actually buffing, like, if you want to kill a heavy, but you don't want to use a war beast to do it, you can actually do that. Because you could shoot something and say, hey, I'm going to choose strength and armor.
Yep.
I like it with actually the War Sphere Slinger guys, the guys who throw it, because you put it where you need to put it, they charge in, and they do an assault, actually, like against their prey. So at that point, they're doing +4 on those damage rolls, and if you have, like, Thag Rush 1, Steven Chronic Blessing, those are POW 19s that they're hugging out their prey, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
For that unit. Or Lilith 2, so you get two of those fucking shots at +4 inches of range. So.
I think the biggest bonus with those shots is being able to put the Ravagor Animus on it, and then you have a 5-inch pie plate that lights everything on fire.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Trent, sounds pretty good.
Is there something in one of your factions that does that? 5-inch pie plate lights on fire? What? Can't recall.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Oh, its Animus is also boiling blood, but who cares?
It's a terrible Animus.
It is.
It's not right. Quite... It's not quite after everything has finished killing your model, they're lit on fire bad. It's useless. And Tony, so what do you think of that one? I imagine...
No, they're literally going to be able to fucking lay a pie plate down in the middle of the board that has Scather, and then they're going to take two fucking Ravagors and create another wall. It's just as bad as the fucking two storm walls. It's retarded.
It's not Scather, Tony. It's not Scather.
Oh, it's not Scather? Oh, okay.
It stays in play.
All right. I'll calm down now. I can calm down. All right.
It sticks around, but it removes tough, so it can basically say that it was nice.
Well, hold on. I just popped 3 volumes. They'll be kicking in any minute.
I think it's interesting that a lot of Legion's releases validated infantry.
That's true.
And yet, yep. I mean, even their Warlock tried to, and this thing definitely tries to. It actually, if you bring this thing, you can take Legionnaires. And they're good with anybody at this point. Because it's buffing armor, which is something that they were pretty weak in, even with their defensive line.
Right.
So they'll go up to 18s. It buffs their strength. So they go from that shitty 10 to 12. So they actually become a pretty respectable unit. And this thing's got a gun to boot. So... Yep. I think it's interesting.
It's good for swordsmen too. Like the concealment, they go to def 16, which is crazy. And then, what are they base POW 10 weapon master, or are they POW 11s? If you choose
either. I don't know.
But yeah, I don't know either because you never see them. But maybe you will now, which is interesting.
I'd be happy to see Legion infantry. It'll change things up. It'll be different.
Yeah.
All right. Well, minions. I guess that's the only thing we haven't talked about. Yep. So. Gator's got an Arc Node, so Caliban might be worth playing now, which is kind of cool for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have casters who wanted Arc Nodes anyways, besides Caliban.
Animus is self-only, though, I believe, so it's kind of confusing as to why you would ever cast that on. But you can put it on your caster. if you want your caster to have an arc node for, I don't know.
For funsies?
100-point game?
Yeah, well, I always...
for two well, caster games?
You do D3 damage to yourself whenever you cast a spell through it. So I mean, I joke that I use Iron Mother, I arc a spell through Iron Mother because it's funny and because she can. But in this circumstance, it's the first animus that's completely useless on a warcaster that you can only cast on a warcaster. Oh, sorry.
You know, minions got an arc node. I don't think they give a fuck about the repercussions of not being able to use it on their warcaster.
Yeah.
No. It's fun. It's a good arc node. It's a good model. It does things that are different.
And they got croak raiders. We don't need to talk about croak raiders.
Let's break down the blind walker real quick. So he's speed 5, mat 5, rat 1, which doesn't matter. He's def 10, armor 20, point cost 7, 3 fury. Threshold 10 for what it's worth, 27 hitboxes and 2 open fists that are POW 14. He's amphibious, of course, because he's a gator. Shield guard, empathetic transference, so you can transfer him even though he's full, which I think is really good. And then his animus, of course, which is the he's a arc node that takes D3 damage every time you arc a spell through him. So on Caliban's feet turn, he's literally going to melt into a pile of dust.
Well, he's not a character, so you can take more than one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the thing is cheap. I think it's shield guard. I think it's cool. Like, I don't know that it's going to be great, because gators don't have a lot of flexibility in their points, I don't really feel like, because posses are pretty static and expensive, and so are their war beasts.
Yeah,
so.
I think this guy's awesome for their faction. I think he does open up that play with Caliban. That you might actually see him in a tournament.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I think actually the pig warbeasts are much cooler. They're awesome. They're so fun.
Good segue, Rick. Good segue.
I want to talk about the Battle Boar here because I like him so much. So he's a feral light warbeast. It's probably going to be basically the same kit for these two warbeasts. He looks cool from the artwork too in the Battle of Lossos video. So he's speed 5, mat 5, rat 5, def 12, armor 17, costs only 4 points, gets you 22 hit points, fury 3, power 11, bacon, because he's delicious, animus height metabolism. It sounds pretty fucking boring until you see that he has rabid.
Yep.
So that's that he gets boosted melee attack and damage rolls on his 2 open fists for 3 fury. And there's just so much fun and chaos you can have with, like, Carver making him a weapon master, or Arcadius having him frenzy and get an attack off, and then having him go rabid so he gets his additional attacks off. And it's just, he's a lot of fun.
Does rabid increase speed?
Plus 2 speed.
He's plus 2 movement, right?
Plus 2 speed and Pathfinder. So,
okay.
All good things.
He's a fun little fella. And in tier list, he'll be fun. I think he's going to be. I think these two light warbeasts open up a lot for pigs that they didn't have before.
That's good, because the UA didn't.
You're so salty about that.
That UA should be 2 points, and that should be the end of the conversation. I mean, that's the UA's problem is its point cost is too high.
I think Pharaoh Brigand should be fucking 6 points, and then that thing can cost 3.
Is it like my theory for a Karax unit attachment that should actually reduce the point cost of the unit?
Yeah, that should be. But it should be granted, Rick. It should be granted. So the second he fucking dies, you're like, oh, you're over point. Fucking lose the game, cheater.
That'd be amazing. Oh man. Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the splatter boar.
Yep.
He is speed 5, mat 5, rat 5. Def 12, armor 17, 22 hitboxes. He costs 5 points. He is fury 3 and threshold 7. He has the same open fists as the last boar at POW and strength 11. And he has a alchemical mortar, which is range 12, AoE 3. And the POW is special because he actually has ammo types. So, real quick before I go through those, he has arcing fire, but he is inaccurate, so he's going to be rat 1 unless he's aiming. And he also has immunity corrosion, an alchemical mask, just like Gorman or Assault Commandos. And he is also delicious because he's bacon. And his animus is the same as the slag trolls, which is plus 2 damage, crit corrosion, and immunity corrosion to any model within 6. As far as his gun, because that's the big part of him, its ammo types are Acid Bomb, which is POW 12 corrosion on everybody in the 3-inch AoE. There is Smoke Blast, which is POW 14, and Fire type, and it's also a cloud effect that remains in play, so a little bit higher blast damage. But honestly, if you're doing that, you probably want the POW 12 blast damage for the Acid Bomb.
Yeah.
And then the last one, which is the new one, which is Psychoactive Gas. Models slash units hit must pass a control check or flee, and Warbeast must pass Threshold or Frenzy.
I would note that does not say enemy Warbeast must pass a Threshold or Frenzy. So once again with Arcadius, you can get two free Frenzies out of it. Just have delightful fun.
Shooting into melee all day long. That's pretty interesting.
Yes, it is. It's very interesting.
I don't know. I mean, you force a lot of command checks, it'll either pay out big or it won't. And Threshold, I think, is the same. You know, you're either going to force Frenzies or you're not. And to be honest, like, you're either wasting 4 points or 5 points.
5 points.
Yeah, you're either wasting 5 points because it's not accomplishing anything, or you're gaining 10 points because it's accomplishing really great things. Comes down to the A.
The other guns are pretty good too, and that Animus is fucking money and pigs. Mm-hmm. So that way they don't have to hurt themselves to do bonus strength.
Or they could hurt themselves.
And do super bonus strength.
Oh my god. Because pigs really struggled with armor crack.
Yeah, I know. There's one thing they're good at, it's hitting something.
No, I think this spotter boar is going to be really cool and open up all sorts of weird stuff.
I don't think it's like opening up anything new for them. I just think it'll be goofy when it actually like has great games and
well, your opponent's
just failing command checks like left and right, and you're just like, this is great.
Because yeah, he's such a Hail Mary with Rat 1. You're like, well, whatever. I mean, because he's going to deviate, and if you hit a model, it's like, oh, two-thirds chance or one-third chance to hit effectively.
I think he's a salt maker. Because your opponent's going to fail, and you're going to get a lucky scatter, and you're going to like break three units in one go, and yep, your opponent's just going to go super salty.
That's going to be amazing.
Wait,
you're going to be like, are you really going to get butthurt against pigs?
Wait, his nickname is the Salt Shaker?
Yes. It's not psychoactive gas, it's salt gas.
That's right.
Yeah. Signar got another release this book too, because why the fuck not?
Every book Signar got Signar two release. Releases.
Yes, they did. Who wants to talk about Linus and Iberia?
Go for it.
I have them in front of me, so okay. I got it.
Nobody cares about Windwall, but Signar shouldn't have.
It's only with their models in the unit, those two models. Uh-huh. So don't stress about that.
I was gonna be like, dude, if a fucking Haley can get goddamn Windwall, then I'm
you raged a little there.
That would be stupid as shit. And everybody knows it.
Okay, so the spoiler I have in front of me, I'm gonna assume that they have the same stat line because it doesn't give two different stats. But speed 6, mat 5, rat 5. Def 14, armor 12. They cost 3 points for the two of them. Each one has 5 hit points, and has a military rifle that's POW 11, range 10. Here's where they kind of break down. Linus has a heavy sword that's reach with POW 10. He's the officer, and he has collaboration as a star action. Target-friendly warrior model's next attack roll is boosted, and he has granted applied knowledge. If a model with applied knowledge makes only regular attacks during its combat action, it can make an additional combat action during its activation, which I think is completely useless on the unit. Ebria is a POW 7 sword, and she has a magic ability 7 with Arcane Bolt. And she also has Wind Barrier, which is non-magical range attacks targeting this model or a model in this unit within 3 inches automatically miss. She also has Zephyr and True Sight, and they will work for Signar, Circle, Trolls, Blindwater, Thornfall, and they hate Saxon Orc.
What did that guy do?
Orcador.
I know, right? There's a book there.
Fluff fact, Saxon Orc and Victor Pendrake were rivals. And Pendrake got Saxon Orc exiled from Corvus University for being an evil dick. Basically, if we're doing an Indiana Jones reference, Saxon Auric is Belloc, the villain from the first Indiana Jones
movie. Could you explain it in terms of Pokemon?
Yes.
He's
Gary.
Blue Red's rival, Gary.
Sounds good.
So there's a reason. Saxon Auric doesn't care because Saxon Auric's a bigger man than Victor Pendrake is for his students, apparently. Saxon Auric and Victor Pendrake have animosity towards each other, but apparently Saxon Auric's completely cool with these kids meddling around. Much like Acosta's completely cool with Constance Blaze, but she hates him for some reason.
Someday.
Yeah. Someday they'll be best friends. They'll just make sweet, sweet love and have a great baby.
So is anybody not seeing, like, the granted applied knowledge? Or is it just me that thinks it's pointless? Because you can't Arcane Bolt multiple times. You can't Zephyr multiple times. You can shoot your military rifle extra with your Rat 5.
Yeah, it seems pretty bad.
You could get behind a wall, shoot that military rifle 4 times at a unit. I mean, so you're Rat 7, so it's still...
I guess.
Yeah. They're not that good. I don't.
Wait. But the guy gives to any model, right? He boosts the attack.
He
of
does.
Any model?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're telling me that Prime Iris doesn't like that, or Gorman doesn't like that?
They hate it.
They like that ability. The other ability he has is that model.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the applied knowledge. Yeah, if I'm missing
something.
Two melee
or ranged attacks. No, I don't think you're missing.
All anything. I see is, sweet God. Prime Iris could actually make a comeback with these people.
I also see a True Sight Arcane Bolt, which sounds amazing on a Magic Ability 7. And really, her military rifle also has Eyeless Sight, for what
or
it's worth.
They could be buffing Ayana, too, and land the harm every time that with him. It's pretty good, actually.
Do you see much of them in Highborn Tanner? Any use that they'll have?
I see them as incredibly good units in Mercs in general.
Mm-hmm.
They only work for Highborn, as a note.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will easily make it into a list, but they're just another support piece, which Mercs already have a lot of support pieces, so it's literally just going to be, who do I cut to fit you in? But I could easily see playing them in Highborn.
Maybe I just think it's neat. I think it's neat that Mercs can play Prime Iris now with these two. Mm-hmm. She's a legitimate threat now. And in any mercenary list, you just have to have the 6 points to, you know, put aside to basically say, if I can move this model into 12 inches of you, I'm probably going to fuck you over.
I can definitely see uses, for sure.
We also have the new Gorman, Horde's Gorman, Hutchuk. He works for, he's much more inclusive. He works for Signar, Kador, Circle, Skulls, Scorn, and Trolls.
And no Krix.
Well, no, because he's a bounty hunter, and Krix tend not to want them alive. It's not a big deal for him. He doesn't work for Protectorate either, so, or Rat, Legion. Or Convergence.
I feel bad for him.
Or Legion.
Guy.
He has standards.
Yeah, he has standards.
He has standards.
Get this blighted shit away from me.
So he's speed 5, mat and rat 6, defense 13, armor 16, 3 points, 8 hit wounds. He's an Ogryn, so he's a medium base. He's an Ogryn bounty hunter, so that means he also can be included in Rulik. He's got Fearless takedown. I'm getting to the best part here. Wild Shot, which allows him to make his ranged attack before his normal movement. Then he can make a normal movement and a melee attack afterwards. But he also has Ambush. And to go with Ambush, he has Alchemical Grenades, which are range 8, AoE 3, POW 12. So one is brain damage, so if it hits and wounds a model, they lose the ability to cast or upkeep spells. He has Quake on a direct hit, knockdown, and then he has Rust. And then he has a POW 14 melee weapon to reach. He is so fucking good.
He is so good.
He is really, really awesome. Good. Yep. He's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how often I'll be ambushing him necessarily to kill the caster and knock something down on the flank, but the fact that threat's always there is just so nice. He makes me, he and the Croak Raiders, I'm going to live the dream one day of my Scorn pretty much minion army, much like Mervenar. Yeah. All I'm going to do is have Warbeast points to make up for minimum fury, and then I'm just going to have an entire battle group full of our entire army full of minions, solos and units, and it's going to be a glorious day.
Have all the juniors.
Yes.
Yeah, Rorsch and Wrong Eye. It'll be great. And all led by Morgul 1, probably.
There you go.
Morgul 1 or Risheth? Supreme Torture.
POW 16 with Risheth. Yeah, like, oh my god.
POW 16, that's what I was going to say.
you can abuse Wrong Eye and Rorsch. Herb, not Rorsch Brine.
Okay, I think it's a cast. What do you guys think?
Think so.
I am cast.
I was waiting for it.
Thanks for listening. Bye. About what happened with Doomshaper and Zal, they must have been playtesting it with like four people, and they were spell drafting, and the Zal player had to go to the bathroom, and then the Doomshaper player looked at his hand and took all the good spells and gave Zal all his shitty spells. That's what happened.
Solved it. Ironcast. Ironcast.
Trent.
Ironcast.
God damn it.
Trent, I'm making you I'm gonna make your t-shirt Ironcast. And it's just gonna be from neckline to bottom. Ironcast. It's just gonna say Ironcast.
Still actually pretty partial to somebody doing the Macho Man Randy Savage with me at the very end. It's alright.
Oh yeah.
Ironcast, brother.
That's Hulk Hogan.